Three, two, one. Welcome back to the 1% Man podcast. I got my good friend here with me, Amber. Amber, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. And now, Amber is a dedicated content creator based out in California. For all my liberals out there, balancing the joys of motherhood with her ambitious journey to becoming a lawyer. You guys know that I'm a big narco, so she was gonna be my lawyer. Passionate about sharing her life milestones and insight, Amber connects with her audience through authentic storytelling. You guys have to go see her page. I love her reels. I actually get a kick out of laughing at them. I didn't tell her that, so now she knows.
Oh.
All right. So as she nears the completion of her law degree, she's excited to advocate for justice and empower others with her expanding expertise. So, Amber, my good friend, I want to ask you three questions so myself and the guests can get to know you better. Is that cool?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Question number one. If you could speak to your 18-year-old self, what advice would you give her and why?
That's a good one.
Thank you. I know.
I would tell my 18-year-old self to focus on finding who I am and healing any childhood trauma I have prior to dating. I think that that's something that's really important for young girls who may not have any guidance or have not had the privilege of experiencing or growing up in a household where a healthy relationship was modeled. So I was extremely unaware of what a healthy relationship between a man and a woman should look like before I went out into the dating world. And I think it really truly affected my life. It did. That's what I would tell myself.
I love that. We're definitely gonna touch on that real quick, but I want to go to the second question is if you could be an expert in another area besides being a future law student, a mom, a survivor, a content creator, influencer, a server, a stylist. You do it all, but what would you be an expert in if you had to choose one thing, but it can't be something that you're currently doing and it can't be law either? What would it be and why?
Can I be honest? It may
Yes.
sound cheesy, but
She's away.
you know the shows like Anthony Bourdain where he just travels the world and tries all these foods.
Yes.
That's what I would be doing. I think I would just, or even like Keith Lee, right? I think I would just be have the trust of so many people that I'm trying this food because I'm a big foodie and go around traveling the world, eating all this delicious food and reviewing it. I think that's what I would want to do. I'd be really happy doing that.
So be like a food content creator slash like
A
a
food
food
critic.
influencer, a food critic
Yeah, that's what
with
I'd
your
want
own
to do.
show.
Yeah, with my own show, exactly. I'd want a show where they see me going, you know. And I know
Yeah.
I'd have to try, some items that may be considered taboo to me.
Yeah.
I think that's just a part of the package. So I'd do it and I think I'd love it.
I feel like it's a California thing though, because in California you guys have everything over there. You know, you guys
We
got a
do.
little. So you probably already tried it already, but this time now, like the whole world gets to experience it with you and get your feedback.
Right.
So are you telling me that on your social media we're gonna be seeing more food critic content?
Probably not. No, probably not. But I do enjoy trying a new restaurant or trying a new food item that I'm not familiar with. I love to eat it all, so.
I can dig that. You're gonna have to give me like a list of things when I go to California to try out. So,
Oh,
but
I know it. Big foodie over here. I know exactly where to tell you where to go.
I appreciate that. And question number three, what is one lesson you would teach all men to make it a better place for everyone?
I think the same thing that I would tell my 18-year-old self. I don't think people realize the power in healing and healing any of those traumas. It will make you a better partner. It'll make you a better husband. It'll make you a better father. And in turn, will make the world a better place, I think. There's tons of men who might not have also had that healthy relationship mirrored. And if you don't know what that looks like, how are you going to actively participate in something of that sort? That's something that you'll need to go on and read about and find yourself so that you don't just join into a relationship and you don't understand how that needs to work. And then another thing is I'm a big believer in a man's being in his masculine energy and knowing what that means. And same for a woman and her feminine energy when we're talking in a heterosexual relationship, right? Like, well, really any relationship, I think no matter what, there's a masculine and a feminine energy. And that's when the relationship really flows and you're able to have a healthy balance within one another.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that one. And I love that lesson. I think it's such a lesson that we don't teach enough people. And enough people, and I believe a lot of men that I speak to always are like, well, I don't need therapy. I'm not crazy. But it's like, it's the tools and resources you learn about what is happening to you emotionally, what happened to you in your past and everything. So yeah, I 100% agree with you, because a healed man is a happy man. A happy man builds great homes and great relationships as well. So yeah, I totally agree with you.
It all connects. People think that, well, that's a long time ago. That doesn't matter. People don't realize the way that you think, or there could even be some triggers that you're unaware of, right?
Huge.
And the way that you act in those situations, you might not be aware of, and that's where you have to dig deep down inside and open those wounds back up and figure it out. And it's hard. It hurts. People don't want to do that. But in turn, you'll have better relationships with your friends, with your lover, right? Colleagues. You'll find out who you are. I always feel like if you know better, you do better.
I could not even add anything to that. Now, and I want to thank you for answering those three questions, because I know myself, I got to know you a little better, and people listening got to know you a little better as well. So let's dive into this. You said you talked about healing from traumas, from relationships, and just from your past and everything as well. So could you give us what's one thing that you've done in your life that has helped meet you, whether that looks like therapy, whether it looks like working out, journaling? What is something that you believe that's helped you so that way you could uncover these past traumas and heal from that?
For sure, reading. I have a ton of books. Self-help books that have helped me realize why I've made some of the choices I've made as in my younger adult years, from the ages of 18 to around 25, made a lot of dumb decisions and choices. And I've realized where they stemmed from and why I made those decisions. And that was reading some of those books. For example, what's a big good one? The Mastery of Love by Don Miguel Ruiz. It's the Art of Relationships. That was a really good book. And in the book, he talks about how he uses an analogy of trauma as a poison. So when someone hurts someone, imagine they have their own poison and it hurts so bad that they put that poison on someone else. So that may look like, I don't know, a parent verbally abusing a child, right? They have some unhealed trauma, which is why they're now relaying that and putting that onto the child, because no one wants to hold on to that pain, but you need to release it somehow. And I never really understood why my mother treated me the way that she did. And I had a lot of animosity towards her for that. And I wanted to forgive her for some of the things she did. And in order for me to do that, I needed to understand why she did what she did. And it's because she never healed from all of her childhood trauma. And so she put that onto me. And it didn't mean she didn't love me. She just didn't do the self-work before having me. So I think that was one of the books that really was like, wow, okay, this is why so and so was mean to me. This is why I accepted it. This is why I did this to so and so. It opened my eyes to all of that.
Yeah, I can't even add anything to that. I think that's amazing. And also that takeaway too, to understand, and that personal experience. Like, I appreciate you sharing that. I think that's amazing. And I think anybody listening could take a lot away from that too, to understand that if you truly want to forgive somebody, you have to understand the actions behind it, and then understand why you're feeling the way you're feeling, and then why, and then having that empathy for them, whoever you want to forgive or move forward in that relationship with, and understand, okay, this is why they did that, because now I understand it from my point of view, not going to understand it from their point of view. That's like, I mean, fabulous, fabulous. I love that. But let's switch a little gears here. I want to talk about content creation and your social media real quick before we get out of here. So you recently got a video that hit like 100, I think 100, no, excuse me, a million views, right?
2.5 million.
Did it? It went up to 2.5,
Who's
right?
Who's counting?
All right. So it's going to hit like 3 million, but all right. What was okay? So, talk to me initially about the excitement of it. Was it exciting? Was it nerve wracking? How was it?
Well, it was one of those things where, you know, you post it, and yeah, I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was a funny video, obviously, and I thought it was good. So, I posted it, but I didn't think that many people would relate to it. And so, I went to bed and I wake up with like, I don't know, 500,000.
Yeah.
Plays on there, and I'm thinking, what happened? This is crazy. And for almost a week and a half straight, my notifications were just out of this world, insane. I had an average of 100 people sharing it. I don't even know, every single day. It was insane. I think it has over 30,000 shares now, and it was fun. I had fun, and I just loved that I was able to connect with that many women around the world who are also trying to juggle motherhood and working and paying off debt. And it just felt good. It felt so good that I was able to really connect and make relatable content.
Yeah. That, now there's always a dark side to social media, right? Let's talk about that too. So with that, did that bring any backlash to you?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Not on that particular post. I don't feel I had too many negative comments on there, but it did bring a lot of traffic to my page where people would comment on other reels and say some really nasty things. And I'm not used to, I don't know, I guess hearing strangers comment on my life and say such mean things to me. And I did respond to some of them because they were making me upset. One woman did think I paid for all those views. And I'm like, why would I pay for this? You know? And I did answer some of those hater comments. But you reminded me, you know, that this just kind of comes with the territory, and I can't put my energy into all of that. So I did start blocking a lot of people and reporting the comments and just deleting them and ignoring them. But there were a few that I did respond to because I didn't want people to think, you know, like I paid for the views or, you know, somebody comments in that, where's the dad? And I'm like, he died. Maybe you should go look at my page and actually find out about me before you start making comments and judging, you know? So
I think I want to ask, what is your advice to somebody in terms of after going through this, right? Because the good side of it is, like, to me, the way I look at it, it's like, hey, you can enjoy the excitement. Everyone's happy for you. All these women are cheering you on. But a lot of times people don't always address the negative side. That's why I'm harping a little more on that, just to give more clarity on why I'm asking this. Because I think there's a lot of women out there just like you that are content creators that do make great content, right? Very, I don't want to say like age appropriate, but appropriate content. That's not like very hurtful. That's not like over sexualizing or anything like that. Even if she wants to, at the end of the day, like, that's her business. But still, like, you still get a lot of backlash from that. But what advice would you give other people, right, after going through it? Other women out there that want to post content, that want to, like, that may fear the backlash and all that. What advice would you have for them to kind of push them or inspire them?
Just post it. Seriously, if you have a desire to connect with people all around the world and share, whether it's your story or your opinions or your thoughts or your experiences, and you just have this desire to do so, just post it. Or even if it's just fun to you, just do it. And if it's too much for you, this is actually my third time trying to do content creation. I have two other times had a couple things go viral, started getting a lot of followers, and I actually delete the account, make a new account with just family and friends that personally know me, and stick to my little private life of just making content for fun. But I'm making these great videos for like 300 people to see, you know? And everybody's like, why don't you get into content creating? You're so good at making these videos. I don't know how you do it. And it's hearing that and hearing everybody say, you know, you have a story, you have relatable experiences, you need to get out there, you need to connect with people. And then amalgamated with my deep sense of feeling that this is a calling and I want to connect with people, I'm not gonna let the hater comments and the negativity and the backlash that just comes with it be a fear of mine and be a blocker, right? And stand in the way of me doing this. And so I'm very proud of myself for allowing my page to stay public as long as I have and be putting out the content that I've been pushing out. So basically, any content creators out there that are kind of like me and keep going back and forth, am I doing the right thing? If you truly have a calling and you enjoy doing this and you think you can put some good out there, just do it. Just do it.
No, I like that. I like that. I think that's super straightforward, but also very inspiring because at the end of the day, it's like you just have to post it, you
You
know?
just
And
have
the
to
fact
post
that you
it.
just shared your whole journey, how, hey, you know, if it gets too much, I deleted my account and I made a new one. So what? Right? But you came back and kept swinging. So one, I'm super proud of you. You know what I mean? I sent you my message, but I'm also gonna tell other people too. It's just like, hey, if you like a content creator and you like that message, him, her, whatever. Slide in their DMs and tell them how good they're doing because it may be that one day that they may just need to hear that message, right? I had somebody today
Oh
tell me
yeah.
that I'm proud that they're proud of me, and I was like, I've been having a rough time, but just seeing that message alone, right?
Oh.
Whether I would have started today or a couple of days later, the fact that it was there, I'm like, oh, damn, thank you, because this shit does get fucking it does mess with your mind.
I am a firm believer in practicing kindness.
Yeah.
Even if you're out and about in public, I'm somebody that will walk up to a stranger and compliment, you know, their hair or their shoes or you know, the way that they're handling maybe their child throwing a temper tantrum. I'm like, you got this, mama. Like, you got this. And I don't think people realize kindness goes a long way.
I agree with you. So something I started doing when I came back from Djibouti was I just started telling men like, "Hey, you look nice." You know what I mean? Because when I was in Djibouti, I wore like their traditional wear, like it's like a man skirt that you wear, and I wore the sandals and everything. And men came up to me, they could tell because I'm a lot bigger. Like, man, they could tell I'm American. They were just like, "Hey, brother, you look great. I love it, man. I
Aww.
love it." You know? And my dear en français, I mean, in French too. They'll come up to me and speak to me in French and be like, "Yo, I love it." And they'll point at the man skirt and say, "Yo, you look amazing." So I take that even here in that aspect here in America, where it's very, people call you gay, people look down on you for saying it, but I don't care. If I think one of my brothers look good, black, white, whatever, I'll be like, "Yo, you look really nice. Hey, your suit, I like it. You got a fresh ass haircut." You know what I mean? Even women too, I'll go up to them and be like, "Okay, shorty, all right. Hey, I think you look great. I'll see you later." Yeah. So I totally agree with you. I love practicing kindness, and I'm gonna steal that little thing about practicing kindness though, and make a little clip about it because I love that.
There's actually this cards that I purchased on Amazon. I'll have to send you the link, but they're kindness cards. And I was giving them to my kids for depends on how our week is going, either the day or the week, but it was a challenge for them. We'd pick something from the card and it would be like sit next to somebody new during lunch. Or, you know, tell somebody that doesn't usually play with you, ask them if they want to play. Just to start teaching the kids, what does kindness look like? What does that sound like? And it was a really fun challenge for them. And It's even something I feel like adults could practice those cards. I don't know if they have a version for adults, because I feel like it was catered more so to, school age children.
You should create it. You should
I
create it.
should.
You
I
should
should
create
create.
it. I think that's a great idea, but
Oh,
that's it.
shit. I'm sorry, somebody called.
No,
No,
it's all
that's a
good.
good idea. I
It's
think
good.
I should make kindness cards for adults. That's a really good idea.
Exactly. And
Ah, cha-ching, you just put me on.
that's your product. Let me add. So you can just type in manufacturers, like note card manufacturers, and then or custom note card manufacturers on Google, and then you'll find somebody that can create it and then send them a
Okay.
mock-up. But I'll tell you more offline anyway. So, but
Okay.
that's a great idea though. Practice kindness. I like it. I'll invest.
If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. I'm a firm believer in that too. It may be an old school saying, but there is so much truth in that. Be impeccable with your word.
Ooh, be impeccable with your word.
Oh.
That just like, oh, that just got a ring to it. Oh, I like that. I gotta write that down and put that somewhere. God, that was good. I like that. Okay. Hell yeah. Now, I know we talked about content creation. We talked about your content. We talked about what you believe and healing trauma. But let's look into the future. What made you want to study law, right? Before we go, I want my viewers to understand that because that's something that you did put in your bio. So, what made you want to study law, and what type of lawyer do you want to be?
So when I decided to go back to school, it really mostly was with the notion to have a career where I would have benefits as a single mom, such as, health care, paid time off, all of these things that you don't get when you're an entrepreneur or a business owner like that. I mean, I was a hairstylist, we don't really get any type of those benefits. And I've always wanted to have a career with that so that I could be a better mom. I think that it would help. And that's what I originally went to college for. I truthfully, financial reasons. There's really no other reason. And so I signed up for the RadTech program, which really only takes a couple of years to complete, but I knew that I'd be able to work in healthcare and have some decent benefits and get some decent pay coming out without having to go to school for forever. And I was taking my general ed courses, and one of my professors, Professor Wade, it was an African American history course. He stops me and on my way out, walking out of class, and he goes, "Have you ever thought about being an attorney or going to law school?" And I said, "No." Me? No, of course not. Why would I think I could do something like that? I'm a single mom. I'm a woman. I'm a woman of color on top of all that. Talk about intersectionality. Lower class, single mom, woman of color. No. And he goes, "Well, I have a ton of friends who have gone to law school, and they've had situations like you, and they've been able to pay off the debt, and they've been able to figure it out." And he goes, "I want to set you up with our Pathway to Law program director. And I think it's something that you should really reconsider." And the reason why I think he stopped me that day was because of my papers. I have a very analytical mind, and I think my arguments speak for themselves. I'm able to draw points that maybe the average mind wouldn't be able to see. And so I said, "Okay, let me entertain this." And I went and I sat with the Pathway to Law program director, and it was a man. And he had five kids while he went to law school. I'll never forget when he told me he went to law school with five kids. He was with his high school sweetheart, which does make a little bit of a difference. But the fact that he was able to complete law school while taking care of five kids and a wife, wow. I said, "Okay, so maybe this is something I could actually do." And he says, "This is 100% something you can do." And so I said, "Okay." And so I started taking some legal courses, and I fell in love with them. I loved the legal courses. And I said, "You know what? I'm going to change my major. I can do this. Let me actually go do something I'm good at that I enjoy, right? And if it takes me a little bit more extra time, so be it." And so I went from the community college, transferring over to UCSC, where I got my undergrad in legal studies. And I completed that all within 4 years. I didn't miss a summer. I took more than full-time units. It was a lot of work. It was really hard. I stayed up all night, all the time, but I loved it. absolutely loved it. And with every course I took, I just realized I was doing the right thing. And after graduating, I said, let me work at a law firm to make sure I really still want to go to law school, right? Because it's different when you study it versus actually practicing it and going out in the field. You can study things all day long. Until you're doing the practical, you really can't have an opinion on the matter. And so law school is 3 years and it is expensive. I just wanted to make sure that this is really what I want to do. And so I worked at a law firm and I loved it. I loved it. And I did so well there. I have to toot my horn because I just spoke with a colleague who works there, and she told me that they had to hire two people to do what I was doing to take place over me. I've never worked in a law firm, right? I come in within 5 months. I went from the basement to the top floor. They just saw how smart I was and how much I could multitask and handle. And it was hard. It was a challenge, but I enjoy that. I thrive in high pressure environments. I thrive when there's a challenge thrown at me and I don't know how to handle it. Not everybody can handle those situations. So I wouldn't want anybody to compare themselves to me or feel that they need to work that hard or tackle all these different goals at once. But for me, that's just how I thrive. To be honest with you, it's probably a trauma response. But hey, it's some of the good that's come with
Exactly.
it,
Exactly. I was gonna say, I love
right?
that.
So I worked at this law firm. I did great. And I said, you know what? This is what I really want to do. And unfortunately, I did have to quit because if I really want to get into law school, I need to take the LSAT. And there was no way working there full time, financially, one, was I making it? And two, did I have the free time to really take my studies seriously to get into law school? I saw what I needed to see, and I said, this is what I want to do. So now I'm currently actively studying for the LSAT. And I do think I want to go into probate, estate, wills, trusts. I'm not 100% sure, but that's kind of the avenue that I'm heading towards. But I feel once I'm actually in law school, I'll be able to make that decision. And that's my cue to
Oh, got you, got you.
go.
Well, Amber, thank you so much for coming on. And we're gonna have to back on. All right.
I had so much fun. You're so fun to talk to. So thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And to everybody else, your legacy starts today.